Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be back. And tremendous praise. How many of you are really expecting for God to change your life? Yeah. Yeah, if you're not expecting God to change your life, you probably showed up at the wrong place. Because we expect the Holy Spirit to come and to speak to us and to change some things in us while we're here on this mountain. We expect that every year when we're here. Under the summit theme of a season of change, there are so many directions there. And by the way, I think that is a very prophetic theme. And I'm going to speak tonight on a change of breakthrough. I think that many of you need a breakthrough in your life. And in order to have a breakthrough, you got to know what you're breaking through. I want you to imagine two positions with me. There is the earthy position, and then there is a Revelation 4:1 position, where Jesus told John to come up hither. Now, there's quite a difference between the hither position and the earthly position. You can never have a breakthrough in the earthy position. You've got to come up to hither to have your breakthrough. You can get a blessing down here, but a blessing is usually temporary. But a breakthrough is more permanent. So I want to speak tonight on that breakthrough. And I'm reminded that the only place you can get that breakthrough up here is in a place of glory. That's where breakthroughs come. And I was reminded of Habakkuk 2:14, where it said, "Indeed, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Now, you notice it didn't say the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. It says the knowledge of it. That you would assume that the earth is already filled with the glory of God. That's that hither position that we can choose to enter into. And it's that position, if we can enter into that position, then we can walk right into our breakthrough. So therefore, it doesn't depend on God doing something for us. He's done everything that he's going to do. He didn't leave anything on the table. He did it all. And we just have to recognize that and have some knowledge of it and walk into that. And that's what I hope will happen in this summit this year, that we will walk into something, that we came here hungry to walk into something, to step into something, to step into our breakthrough. And I'm going to use as my scripture on how to do that, Isaiah 66, if you want to turn there. I'll be reading from the Amplified Bible. Listen to what it says. This is heavy reading. This is not some light reading. I mean, there's so much here that we can get a hold of. It says, "Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where's the house that you had built for me? And where will my resting place be?" And then it says, "For all these things my hands have made." In other words, I don't need your stuff. Sometimes we're trying to build something that God is not needing. But what does he need? Here it is. He says, "But this one I look graciously. He who is humble and contrite in spirit." What's the next words? "And those who tremble." Those who tremble at my word. If you want a breakthrough, you got to be some trembling going on. And the only place there's going to be some trembling going on to hear his word is on that second position that I talked to you about. That hither position. So what the Lord is referring to there are those who are willing to submit to Him and flow with His Spirit, and those who are not wanting to have their own agenda. See, God wants us to be open to the degree that if He says go here, we'll say yes, sir. If He says go there, we'll say yes, sir. And one thing we will not say is why or how much does it cost. If we have to ask why, to me, that's a very high form of idolatry. God, you tell me and then I'll decide if you're right or not. Then you're putting yourself on the same level with God. Don't ever ask God why. Say yes, sir. The only thing He wants to hear from you and me is yes, sir. If He says stretch out your hand, you'll say yes, sir. If He says give a word that you've never given before, you'll say yes, sir. In other words, God wants you to say, Lord, my life is not my own. My life belongs to you. My spirit belongs to you. My soul belongs to you. That's the commitment the Lord is looking for, because it's the humble that He wants to esteem and show His favor to. And those who allow His word to tremble. Everybody do this. Now put that on your heart and do it. See, that's exactly what He wants from us this year at this year's summit. He wants some trembling to take place. But it's in the spirit realm where all this vibration is taking place. When I was growing up, there was an old saying that says, we need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Has anybody ever heard that? Yes, a few of you have. In other words, we need to be on the same frequency with the Holy Spirit, or in divine unity with the Holy Spirit. So Isaiah is showing us that the Word of God is so powerful that it actually carries with it a vibration. There should be a vibration. Your Bible ought to be vibrating all the time. There should be a vibration. So every time that Word is spoken, then a vibration is released in somebody's life. And I'm hoping tonight as I speak the word that there's a vibration that will be taking place in somebody's life. Which means if it does happen that way, then there's an opportunity to change in them. And as a result of that, there will be a portal that will be open to those who will allow His word to vibrate on the inside of them. And they'll have a supernatural opportunity to touch something that they've never touched before. And to see something that they've never seen before. And to manifest something that they've never manifested before. In other words, when we get connected to the frequency of God, there's no telling what can happen in our lives. See, the problem is not with God doing something. The problem is with us stepping into what He's already doing. We need to do some stepping here in this summit. In the medical field, there's a term called fibrillation. And it has to do with the heart. The heart feeds on two different vibrations. There's an upper chamber and there's a lower chamber. And when those beats get out of control, then they have to do something. When they start opposing one another, then they have something called paddles that they put on the body, on the heart, to shock it back into rhythm. God never intended us to be in two or three different rhythms. He always intended us to beat with one rhythm. And so when we do, then we can have a unity that can draw the presence and the power of God in our lives. But when we beat in opposite rhythms, we see that in the body of Christ today, where brother is against brother and sister is against sister, and one church is against another church, and one denomination is against another denomination. But that's not what God ever intended to be. That's not of God. He intended to be there to be one rhythm in the body of Christ. And we can start that right here with us. We can determine we're going to be in unity. Now, I'm not talking about compromising something. I'm talking about being in unity with the Lord. A few days ago, I was reading over in in 2 Chronicles 5, where it talks about the dedication of Solomon's temple. It says the glory of God came down on them because they were worshiping, and they were in such unity that the glory of God came down upon them in such a degree that the ministers and priests couldn't even perform their duties. They couldn't perform their duties. That's what happens when we get in unity and we take that second position up here and we step into that with the Lord. How would you like that to happen to you? I think we ought to pray for that to happen right here on this mountain, that it starts with us. It starts with us as leaders, and pray for it to happen with us, and that we would be in unison in such a way that things would begin to happen in our lives and we would be able to change our spirit. See, we need to get out of the box. We need to get out of the box. I really appreciate Brother Bill and Jan talking about God opening up another side track for us. And it's not necessarily a new track. It's probably the track that we've been running on has been the wrong track. We've been the wrong direction. And so God is opening up a track. We got to get on that track. And it's a faith track. We don't know all the answers to all the questions. We got to get on that track. One way of doing it is to get out of the box and stop doing those things that don't work for us anymore and start doing those things that do and follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, because only in His power that can He bring us into the right vibration. We need to get in the right vibration, and only then can He help us to fulfill our destiny. I dare say that all of us are operating on a lower level than God intended for us to operate on. There's more. How much more? I don't know. We don't know what we're capable of. But all I know is that we're capable of a lot more than probably what we are doing. I think about that a lot. And I think, Lord, I'm 83 years old. I've been in ministry 60 years. And how much of what I've done has been wood, hay, and stubble? And I have a feeling a whole lot more of it has been wood, hay, and stubble than I thought. It's wood, hay, and stubble because I did it, not because He told me to do it. I did it because I like to do it. But maybe it doesn't produce what it could have produced otherwise. So God, if we just get into the presence of God and get into that unity, then God will bring that heavy cloud upon us. And I do believe that that's what His intentions are. And I believe that this is the year that God wants to bring something upon us and make us the greatest witnesses that this world has ever known. I believe that. I believe there's going to be a move of God that's going to take us to another level. And I believe that we're going to see things happen through just little ordinary us that has never happened before. We have some little measure of success, and we blow our little horns as if we've really done something. And most time we really haven't done squat. But God wants to bring us into a place where we'll be the greatest witness and the greatest light that the world has ever seen, even greater than Pentecost. In Pentecost, the power of God came in one place and spread all over the whole world. But I believe that we're going to see the power of God spread, come down on the whole world and then spread. Because you have more people today that the Holy Spirit can come down on. And which means, if that's true, then we got to step into it. We got to step into it. Stomp your feet and say, I'm stepping into it. Now shout, I'm stepping into it. Boy, about three of you stepping into it. Let's hear. Let's stomp your feet and say, I'm stepping into it. Now that's just a little thing to say, Lord, count me in. Lord, count me in. As we continue on with the thought of a season of change, I want to look at Psalms 103, which is a very interesting reading within itself. David says that David said, praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. But he was saying that he was not speaking to the Lord. He was speaking to himself. He was commanded himself to praise the Lord. He was commanded his mind, will, and emotion to praise the Lord. He said, you got to praise the Lord. It's almost like his spirit is over here and his mind, will, and emotion is over there. And he's saying, you got to praise the Lord. You just got to praise the Lord. Now, why did David say to praise the Lord? Why was he commanded his mind, will, and emotions to praise the Lord? Because your mind, will, and emotions will mess you up. Your mind will mess you up. And so he was commanded his mind, his will, and emotion to praise the Lord. Because unless we do like David did, we'll get bogged down in things like past hurts. And we'll spend the rest of our lives talking about something that's killing us, and we give it life by continuing to talk about it. And we eventually die as a miserable, fragile soul. Friends, God, we must believe that God is a miracle-working God. Amen. God can heal our memories. God can heal our mind. God can heal our home. God can heal our finances, because nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And besides that, fear never produced the miraculous, but faith does. So therefore, we need to be faith-filled rather than fearful. But the problem is, most of the time, we're fearful rather than faith-filled. But if we're fearful about things like our finances, then maybe that's the reason why God cannot bless us, because we give him no room. We have to give him room. All the time God is saying to us, give me what's in your hand, your little, and I'll give you my much. See, there's a divine exchange available for us but we have to release our little. How about the widow woman with Elijah? This woman only had enough meal and oil to make a biscuit apiece for her and her son, and they were going to eat it and die. And here came the man of God and says, feed me first. Now, from a natural standpoint, if we're thinking from there, we'd have probably went and found a stick and beat that prophet out of town. Somehow, I don't know, the Bible doesn't show, somehow or another, she saw from this standpoint. And she said, yes, sir. See, God is always first. God is never some. God is always first. So she fed the prophet, and God multiplied her oil and her meal. In other words, a new revelation from God will always lead you in a new elevation in God, because God will take you higher and higher and not lower and lower. So why did David say, bless the Lord, O my soul? He said it because your mind will mess you up and have you making up all kinds of scenarios. It'll take you places that you don't want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you want to pay. You can't trust your mind. Your mind will take you down the primrose path. And that's why the Bible says we have to take every thought captive and make it obedient. In other words, you've got to make your mind mine. You've got to say, mind, you've got to mind me. You've got to make your mind mine. Sometimes you may even need to spank it. And say, mind, you need to shape up. Mind, you need to praise the Lord. Mind, you need to obey God. Mind, you need to line up. Mind, you need to stop that stinking thinking. Have you ever felt that you're on an emotional roller coaster where one moment you're up and the next moment you're down? If you have, it's because you've not taken authority over your emotions, and therefore your mind and emotions are taking authority over you. See, you're operating on this level. Don't tell me how spiritual you are when you're operating on this level. We got to get to that hither position. It's the hither position that produces faith. It produces the miraculous. It produces everything. It produces success. Because you're seeing from God's standpoint through His eyes. It's amazing. John spent all of his life seeing things from one level. But the Lord says, come up hither. I want to show you from my vantage point. Things look different from up there. So David said, bless the Lord, O my emotions. Now, your emotions are not wrong, because God gave them to you, and your soul is not wrong. It just needs to be in alignment with God. You have to take authority over it. And that's why Isaiah 6:6, that's what it meant when it says that we need to humble ourselves. Don't make other people humble you. We need to humble ourselves. And by the way, it's not false humility to say, Lord, make me, mold me. I made it 3 years old and I still say that. I'm not there yet. There's so much that I haven't learned yet. I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to be open. So I say, Lord, make me, mold me. Give me that level of understanding. Help me to stay here more than I stay down here. Tell the Lord to do everything you want to do with me. But then David takes this whole thing a little further when he said all, when he puts that all in, all of my innermost being, praise the Lord, all y'all. That's what was in text, all y'all. Y'all is singular, all y'all means all y'all. So David was basically calling himself into vibrating. When he said that, he was calling himself into vibrating for the purposes of God and basically saying, I'm not satisfied with what this world has to offer. And so therefore, he steps into, watch me now, he steps into that realm of Jesus. Here's David back here. Here's Jesus up here. But when you step into that glory realm, you begin to see things different. And David said when he stepped into that glory realm and began to see the benefits of Jesus, he said one of the benefits that he forgives all of my sins. Oh my. This is David talking about that. He forgives all of my sins. Another benefit is he heals all of my diseases. So there's not one disease, one sickness that Jesus didn't take care of on the cross. But the only way you can receive those benefits is through the blood of Jesus on the cross. So that means you've got to step into that point and see through the eyes of Jesus, which is exactly what David did. And that's why Isaiah prophesied. He was back there in the Old Testament. He said, by his stripes, I'm healed. All these guys are back here in the Old Testament, and they're seeing Jesus way down there in the New Testament, and he hadn't even showed up yet. And yet they see him. See, you can see things from this glory level that you can't see from this natural level down here. Friends, there's a spiritual realm that opens when we begin to vibrate with heaven and get on the same frequency and step into those rhythms of glory. There's a vibration that takes place and cross over into something bigger than ourselves and something bigger than our intellect, where God is able to take you to places that you've never dreamed of. Oh my, this is what we need right now. The fact is, I believe that David actually stepped into another realm when he began to sing about those benefits. He stepped up here. I believe that was a place that Jesus told John to come to in Revelation 4:1. David stepped into that place. And I believe that's where he began to see those things. And it's there that he began to praise. See, praise will take you to places that you've never been before. And I believe it was in this realm where David commanded his innermost being to praise the Lord. and to vibrate with the things of heaven. He didn't say that down here. He said that up here. Because David's first declaration in all of this was, he forgives all of my sins. But the question is, how did David say that when it was 1,000 years before it was ever born? I mean, how did David say that when it was 1,000 years before Jesus was born? How did that happen? Listen to me, the Bible did say that Jesus, the Lamb, was slain before the foundation of the world. Before there was one frog, one drop of dust, one cloud, one anything, Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. You might say that, as the Bible says, that he's the one who was and is to come. He is your present, and he has your future in his mind. And friend, when you get the revelation of eternity like David did, something begins to happen on the inside of you, and you too will begin to see through the eyes of Jesus. And it's then that you can expect that breakthrough. The breakthrough comes at that point when we step up and begin to see things through the eyes of Jesus. Because in the Spirit, God wants to take you to places in your past. And he wants to take you to places in your future. And he can take you to realms in the natural that you could never imagine. And he can take you beyond your years and beyond your natural wisdom and knowledge into a place of heavenly revelation and download things into your spirit that you will stand on top of the world and shout it to the world without fear. Without fear. See, our biggest problem down here is fear. But up here, you can do it without fear. And if it's in your community, it's without fear. And any place else that God sends you, without fear. So when David was in the Spirit, I believe that he began to see through the eyes of Jesus. We need to pray at this summit, Lord, help me to see through your eyes. I don't want to look through my eyes, because my eyes will see the problems of this world. My eyes will see the can'ts, but your eyes will see the possibilities and the cans. And Psalms 22 is a messianic psalm, and it really is a mystery. It is a mystery. Even though I use it, it is a mystery. Listen to what it says in verse 6. And I got to tell you, every man of faith in the world would respond to this as I have. Listen to what it says. But as for me, I'm only a worm. I don't like that part. I don't like that part. A few years ago, I was in England. They had a big conference. All kinds of churches and background. They all came together. It was a big place. They rented a big auditorium. And the man that was going to introduce me, I think he was Lutheran. And he was a nice man. He got up. And he said, I'm just a worm. And I thought, well, you may be a worm, but I'm not. And so I got up and I said that. I said, I'm not a worm. I am fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. I can declare a thing and it will happen. I can speak to the mountain. And I went on for a few scriptures, because this scripture here offended me, because I am not a worm. When I was just saved, my pastor was trying to teach me how to pray. Of course, people don't do that nowadays, but back in my days, they teach you how to pray. It may not have been right, but they taught you how to pray. So every Saturday night, we'd go down to church, me and him. So, all right, let's pray. And, you know, he was the kind of pastor that believed God was deaf, and so he would shout, so I'd shout, oh, God. And I'd say, oh, God. And he'd be down on the floor, so I'd be down on the floor. He'd crawl around, so I'd crawl around. He'd crawl around between the pews, and so I'd crawl around under the piano. But one day, oh, God, he was crying. I'm just a worm. And I said, oh, God, he's just a worm. I never did buy into that worm thing. Even back then, just barely off the street, I knew that God had done something in me that I was not that. I don't know how I knew, but I knew that I was fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And I didn't know coming here from Sikkim about the Bible. But as he taught me to pray, I prayed everything just like him. Except that. But this is Jesus now. But as for me, I'm only a worm and not a man. Scarred by mankind, despised by people. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They gape at me with open mouths and shake their heads at me. I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax melting within me. My strength is dried up like broken pottery. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. And you have brought me down to the dust of death. And then the last part of verse 16. A gang of those who practice of evil has encircled me. They gouged my hands and feet. Now this is David talking here. This is David talking here. What's happening here? Did David actually experience the crucifixion in his life? No. No. Let's continue with verse 18. They divide my clothing among themselves. They cast lots for my clothing. Have you noticed that David is speaking in first person here? As though it was happening to him, he is literally in that encounter with Jesus on the cross of Calvary, as though he is seeing through the eyes of Jesus. He is seeing through the eyes of Jesus. He had come to a place in the Spirit that he was looking through the eyes of Jesus. So David literally saw the crucifixion of Christ. He saw it. He saw it through the eyes of Jesus. Let me tell you something. When you get to that hither place, you'll be able to see things that you'll never see from that place, that natural place. And not only did David see the crucifixion of Christ, but he also saw the resurrection of Christ. In other words, David literally saw in the Spirit what the disciples did not see in the natural for another 1,000 years. But he saw it in the Spirit. Peter talks about David in Acts 2:20. He said, therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, David, that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on the throne. He, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. And then Peter said, it was this very Jesus whom God raised, and you're witnesses to it. Peter is saying, are you seeing what you're seeing? And then it says in Acts 2:33, he, Jesus, had been exalted to the right hand of God and has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has caused you to experience what you are seeing here today. I think it's very interesting. 3,000 people showed up as Peter went down to speak through. And the Bible says some were amazed and some mocked and some believed. And so they were divided into three categories: amazers, mockers, and believers. Amazers, wow, did you see that? Mockers, I don't believe that. And then believers, I don't care what it is, I just receive it. I just receive it. And then in 34, for David did not go to heaven, but he said, the Lord told my Lord, sit at my right hand. So that means that David didn't have a heavenly encounter. He had a spiritual encounter about the things of heaven. Can you see the difference there? Which is exactly what God wants to do here tonight. He wants you to have a spiritual encounter. But you've got to come up to the hither place. He wants you to have that spiritual encounter tonight. And he wants to release many spiritual encounters for you and me right here like he did David. In other words, you won't be in heaven seeing things, but you'll be on earth seeing things. You'll have one hand on the earth and the other in heaven. And God wants to do that tonight. When David had that spiritual encounter, he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet, that all Israel will know that Jesus, whom you crucified, is both Lord and Christ." So David had a revelation of the resurrection of Christ. And he also had a revelation of the crucifixion of Christ. And then he goes back and he sings the song when he had that revelation that he forgives all of my sins. That's the position that he was singing from. Oh, friends, that was 1,000 years before anybody could have possibly sung that song, and 1,000 years before anybody could have possibly had that revelation. See, I believe this is a season that God wants to move us into realms of eternity. This is not something new. The Lord's been doing this. We need to move into realms of eternity, and I hope that we'll purpose in our heart to do that tonight. And when we do, we can call the blessings of the future into today. And we can call the healings of tomorrow into today. And we can call the miracles and favor of tomorrow into the day. And those things that normally take 20 and 30 years to accomplish, we can call those things into today. And all can happen if we will allow the word to vibrate on the inside of us. Oh, we must start vibrating in this summit up here. I like what it says in Psalms 92:10. It says, "My horn hast thou exalted like the horn of the wild ox." And it says, "I am anointed with fresh oil." I am anointed with fresh oil. Now, friends, I want you to stand to your feet. And I want you to close your eyes and lift your hands. And it's okay if you begin to shake that hand and let that anointing begin to come down. And let that fresh oil begin to come upon you. Because this is the night of a new day for many of you. And I believe this is the night that there's going to be some breakthrough and some revelation. And as you allow that anointing to come upon you, if you want to step to the front or step out in the aisle, just do that. And just let that be an act of faith on your part. And let that fresh oil, let that anointing come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, take us to that hither position, Lord. Take us to that hither position. Take us to that place where we can see through the eyes of Jesus. Change our lives tonight. Change our lives tonight. Change our lives tonight. Just wait before the Lord. Just wait before the Lord. Come. Let him come. Let him come. Mean what you say. This is not a time to carry on a conversation except with God. This is a holy moment. This is a holy moment. Thank you.